This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. I'm here in the offices of Liberty Resources Incorporated, a center in downtown Philadelphia, and I'm with Rebecca Hamill, who works with the organization. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first, explain a little bit about Liberty Resources Incorporated and also the Philly Fair Ride Coalition that you're also, I understand, a part of.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. So Liberty Resources is a center for independent living, which means we help individuals with disabilities to live independently in the community instead of in nursing homes. And this is, you know, one of the greatest civil rights issues facing disabled people now. We currently have legislation pending, the Disability Integration Act, that should make that a little easier, hopefully. So, call your Congress people and ask
federal legislation.
Federal legislation that would make it a bit easier for us to do our job.
Sounds like a story I need to cover.
That too. Disability Integration Act, National ADAPT, they're doing great work with that. The Philly Fair Ride Coalition consists of people with disabilities such as myself, and also taxi drivers and limo drivers and Uber Black drivers right now. And what we're doing is we're fighting for worker protections and fair wages and accessible wheelchair accessible vehicles for Philadelphians.
So I'm guessing that Philadelphia, like any big city in the United States, has challenges on the issue, or is challenged by the issue of transportation, who can access it, not just in terms of race and disability, economic class, geography, etc., right? So I'm guessing these are also longstanding bigger issues before companies like Uber came in?
Yeah, this has been a fight that's going on since before the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed 26 years ago. Here in Philly, I'm young. I haven't been working on these issues that long, but I do have the pleasure of working with some activists who've been on this issue for over 20 years, which kind of shows that it's a hard one. It's a hard one.
I'm from LA, and we struggle with those same.
Yeah, and it's not just it's not just a taxi and Uber issue. I mean, SEPTA, the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, which is our public transit system, the only aspect of that that's 100% accessible right now are the buses. Most of our a very large number of our subway stops and elevated train stops aren't accessible. A lot of our regional rail stops aren't accessible. And the entire trolley line, which serves West Philadelphia and the western suburbs, isn't accessible either. So one of the big, one of SEPTA's accessibility issues helped spur this Uber debacle, which is they recently had to take about a third of their rail cars, their regional rail cars, out of service. These were the Silverliner 5s. And these were the newest of their rail cars. They found a manufacturing defect, but they were the only rail cars that had been made after the passage of the Americans with Disability Act. So they took a third of the most accessible rail cars out of service, and that helped kind of create this state of emergency that, that people used as an excuse to sneak through this strange Uber legislation backroom deal.
So let's talk about that. So here at the Democratic National Convention, Uber is a big presence. People, obviously the logistics are huge. It's the biggest convention. So the idea of having to move around tens of thousands of people between the city center, which is in downtown Philadelphia, and the Wells Fargo Center, where the actual convention is being held, quite a ways away. Those are big logistical problems. Uber seems to have gotten a very sort of special dispensation from the city to have a presence at the convention. I rode in the back of an Uber car with a DNC volunteer and was shown this fancy Uber tent that's fully air conditioned, that was closer to the Wells Fargo Convention Center than any other place, for example, where the train let out. Free water bottles, free granola bars, fancy graphics. And clearly the DNC was very happy to have Uber there. And my guess is the city has given it permission. How did all of that happen? How did Uber get this Uber special treatment? No pun intended. To be part of this convention that is, I'm sure, bringing in a lot of business.
Oh, for sure. So this is the long part of the story. It's really interesting. Uber has actually only been legal in Philadelphia for the last couple weeks, which means that the DNC and Uber were probably making, or almost certainly making, deals, you know, in
back. How is it not legal before that?
So Philadelphia is kind of an exceptional city in the state of Pennsylvania. We're called a city of the first class, and we're the only city of the first class. So Harrisburg, you know, our capital, makes a lot of they have more influence over us than they do over certain cities. So up until recently, Uber was actually legal throughout Pennsylvania, except for in Philadelphia County. UberX was illegal in Philadelphia County. Uber Black was legal in Philadelphia County because those are licensed limousines who go through the usual Exactly. So not exactly like a taxi driver, like a limo driver, because taxis and limos are regulated slightly differently here in Philadelphia.
Going through a process that others are subject to the same.
Yes, exactly. It's an equitable playing field in that case. So, you know, if you drive in limousine and you're an Uber Black driver, you're paying the same fees as someone who's driving a limousine and isn't using the Uber platform. By contrast, UberX pays, they pay nothing in fees to to our regulatory agencies. But the taxi drivers have to pay extremely onerous fees, even though our Philadelphia Parking Authority actually did a study a couple of years ago that shows that they're all making well under minimum wage. They're averaging under $5 an hour, yet our Parking Authority continues to increase the fees on cab drivers. Back to Uber. We've gone to Philadelphia Parking Authority about the cab issue, and we had actually, there was legislation on the table that would have made 100% of the cabs wheelchair accessible over the next several years as they were all replaced. You'd have to replace them with a wheelchair accessible vehicle. But what happened was, when UberX started operating in Philadelphia, it really crushed our local taxi industry, which, like I said, is, mostly people, making under minimum wage, mostly people of color, probably majority immigrant population. Whereas a lot of the UberX drivers we find are coming in from surrounding suburbs to work in Philadelphia.
That company coming in undermined the accessibility transition that the taxi drivers were involved in because it undercut the taxi revenues, and then they couldn't afford any longer to do to outfit their cabs.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the larger companies weren't thrilled about having another mandate, another thing that they'd have to pay for, but we were working towards it, and we had won, I believe, 150 wheelchair accessible medallions that they were going to auction off over the course of a few years. Last summer, they auctioned off 51,
What do you mean by medallion?
Oh, sorry. I forget that not everyone's as obsessed with accessible transportation as I am. A medallion is literally like a little piece of metal that you can bolt to your cab's hood, and it means that you're a licensed cab that can operate in the county of Philadelphia. And those used to sell for almost $500,000. But now you can't give them away because our taxi industry is dying.
Okay, so then what did Uber's entry into or their attempt to take over the city of Philadelphia do to these issues?
Well, so it really put the disability issue on hold. We know that Uber is, really into union busting. So, any attempts of our drivers, either, Uber or, traditional taxi to collectively bargain has been severely undercut.
So, just to back up, your colleagues and yourself are not just interested in issues of accessibility for users of these transportation companies, but also for fair wages for the workers in these companies. And you see those two issues as linked?
Well, absolutely. You know, we really believe that the issues of people with disabilities, as well as those who, the workers who provide the services that we depend on in order to operate independently in the community, are, forever intertwined. Our home care workers here are unionized. You know, we believe that people who, are helping us out really do deserve some worker. We believe everyone deserves worker protections and a living wage. And I should also mention that the cost of living here is very high. You know, it's not New York high, it's not San Francisco high, but it's not cheap either.
So then how did 2 weeks ago Uber manage to suddenly become legal, 2 weeks ahead of the biggest convention that the city is going to see for a little while?
Well, that was a really weird story. So a couple weeks ago, there was legislation pending in the State House, the Pennsylvania State House, that would have legalized and regulated transportation network companies in Philadelphia County. But the bill had about 200 amendments, including some that we had lobbied very hard to get on there, including a mandate for, a certain percentage of accessible vehicles and, at least like an equivalent fee structure so that the taxis and the Uber drivers would be competing on a level playing field. Because Uber, a lot of Philadelphia lives in poverty, 12% in deep poverty. And if you don't have a smartphone and a credit card, you can't use Uber. So, even though Uber's here and it's not going away, there's still a place for a traditional taxi service. But anyway, so there was this bill pending, but they were, getting ready to go on recess. And, they said, there's no way we could possibly sift through 200 amendments before our summer recess. So they tabled that bill until September. then the Philadelphia Parking Authority went behind closed doors with Uber and made a backroom deal. A secret backroom deal. The deal itself wasn't secret. The contents of the deal are secret. But what it means, they basically agreed to not take any enforcement steps against Uber from now until September 30th. And also, Uber owed over $1 billion in fines for operating illegally.
Over $1 billion in fines?
Not a billion, just a million.
Oh, a million. But here in Philadelphia alone?
Philadelphia alone, they owed over $1 million in fines. And the parking authority settled with them for $350,000. Oh, nice. So we went to court. Because the Philadelphia Parking Authority is a public regulatory agency, they're not supposed to make backroom deals.
The tax revenues that they gave away, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. So as opposed to taking hundreds of dollars a month like they do for cab drivers, they're taking 1% of revenues, of which 2/3 are going to the school district and 1/3 is going to the PPA. So we went to court, and the judge we got actually agreed with us that this deal was not legal under the current, charters that allow these agencies to operate. So we won a temporary restraining order. A couple of our members, had filed a suit. And then that very evening, we found out that there had been language snuck into a state Senate appropriations bill giving the parking authority the authority to make deals like that without regulatory oversight. So it was just like, it was just so specific.
So basically, your elected officials went out of their way to ensure that Uber got this special treatment. Why is this happening? Do Uber lobbyists essentially pressure politicians? Are they spending money at the political level to make these sorts of things happen?
I'm not going to say for sure one way or the other, but I do know that let's say I'm not going to say they're doing anything illegal,
right, yeah.
But this is a company that's valued at almost $70 billion, And a lot of that money they're using to lobby and to fight lawsuits, because this isn't the only city where people are saying, you know, this is a cool technology, but maybe we shouldn't leave, you know, drivers' rights and people with disabilities and, you know, the ability of people who are poor to get a ride behind.
So the DNC could be and is being from local businesses is a huge bonanza, of course, a huge infusion of outside cash. That's how cities sell these kinds of conventions, of course, if you will, to the public, that it's going to spur the local economy. Because of what happened with Uber, are local taxi companies basically not going to see very much of that economic stimulus because Uber is able to undercut them so much? I mean, everywhere I go, people are like, oh, take an Uber. It's so cheap. It's so cheap. Take an Uber.
Yeah. And let me say that the expensive taxi rates, those are actually set by the Philadelphia Parking Authority. Our taxi drivers don't set those rates. Those are the mandate.
That's a really good point.
Citywide rate. So, you know, we have, let's say, like, it's definitely cut, they're sure it's cutting, the people I've talked to all say it's cut into their revenue, but they also say that this is, you know, possibly the only time this summer that they'll actually have a chance to turn a profit. So, you know, our drivers are out there, you know, really working hard.
So essentially the long-term view then, what happens when you have a company like Uber with so much preferential treatment by local government authorities and taxi companies losing business as a result, when the rates are set by your authority, what I can imagine is going to happen is that little by little, people who are working in the regulated taxi industry are going to end up moving into Uber, which is going to basically transform your transportation industry into an unregulated, the sort of so-called gig economy, so-called sharing economy model, where once they might have been making union wages, they're going to be making below even minimum wages. I mean, is that what you feel is the long-term trend?
I feel like that's the long-term trend nationwide. Here in Philadelphia, our taxi industry was actually deunionized in the early 90s. So our taxi drivers they were struggling long before Uber came into the scene. But Uber coming onto the scene is not helping. And I don't know if to call it preferential treatment, but just like the parking authority has turned their head away from, you know, Uber's multiple transgressions while continuing to regulate the taxi industry very heavily. And that doesn't make sense to me.
So if the transportation authority is setting the rates for taxi companies, what are the wages of drivers based on? I mean, obviously, they must have to be paid the minimum wage. Not just Uber drivers. I'm talking about taxi drivers.
Yeah, I'm saying taxi drivers are also make sub-minimum wage here in Philadelphia. So a lot of them, they pay licensing fees for their, for their hack license. They pay, a lot of them took out loans to get their medallions back when the medallions were worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some of them have car loans. A lot of them are, driving for companies that are larger medallion holders, but still treats them as an independent contractor. So they pay fees to those companies for the privilege of driving one of their cabs.
So in the end, even they end up being paid sub-minimum wages.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, like, these are, like, a public transit system is something that, you know, a city needs. Everyone benefits from good public transportation. And right now, our only public transportation workers who are unionized are the SEPTA drivers. The paratransit drivers are not unionized. Those are the buses that are specifically for people with disabilities. Yeah, they don't make good money, but they still make more than taxi drivers right now.
So what would you say to convention goers, delegates, journalists, the press, et cetera, who are here in Philadelphia? Some people like to think we can affect change by voting with your dollars. But, you know, we're coming and going within the span of a week. Is there a short-term recommendation and a long-term recommendation that you can make for people who are interested in social justice issues like this?
Well, my short-term recommendation would be to tip your Uber driver if you do take an Uber or a Lyft. tip them cash. There's no place on the app for a tip. That's something that Uber drivers are fighting for in some places. But, you know, remember...
They like the idea of having a cashless transaction, right?
Exactly. But, you know, remember that of that cashless transaction, of, you know, that really cheap fare, 25% is going to Uber. And a lot of these drivers also, you know, you've got your normal car expenses. And then a lot of them also have subprime loans on their vehicles taken out that Uber helped facilitate. So wait,
Uber's a bank, a lending institution as well.
Uber is taking over the world. Their end game is self-driving autonomous vehicles to cut the driver out entirely.
So if you're going to take an Uber, tip them generously with cash, or possibly even if you're taking a taxi ride, do the same.
Oh, absolutely. Anyone who's driving you, unless they're a SEPTA driver, tip them well, please. That's the short term. Support labor, you know, because labor unions are, you know, one of the only things that could possibly stand up to Uber at this point. But, you know,
are there national efforts that you know of around Uber, or are the fights all sort of localized like the one here?
I think it's largely localized, but that's a lot of, you know, what union organizing is, you know, just one bargaining unit in one shop at a time. So, you know, so we have a couple examples where Uber drivers have banded together and are, you know, getting more rights, but not necessarily, you know, all the rights they need. But, you know, we can look at what's going on in New York with the Drivers Guild. We can look at what's happening in, I believe, Seattle. There was recently a court victory. I can't believe that the Democratic Party would partner with Uber, but they have so many lawsuits against them right now for violation of workers' rights, you know.
Right. And for all the lip service being paid to labor unions and economic rights and equitable wages, the DNC has partnered with a company that stands against all of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they assume that they will have the vote of the disability community, which they probably will, because, you know, unlike Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton has not made fun of any reporters with disabilities on air. So, but, you know, I think that bar is set a little too low. I think we should not just be looking for the party that doesn't make fun of disabled people and the one, you know, and, you know, it's great that they just included the Disability Integration Act on their platform, and for that we're thrilled. But, you know, I still think that partnering with Uber was not a great move.
Well, Rebecca, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and helping us understand the story of Uber and the DNC. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It was absolutely a pleasure talking to you.
Rebecca Hamill is my guest. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.